NewRadioSportsNetwork.com. I'm Tim Coles, and each and every week we are joined by the Green Bay Gamblers head coach and general manager, Pat Mikisch. The Green Bay Gamblers coming off of not just, well, I guess the Iowa swing continues as I record this. This is before the Dubuque Fighting Saints game, so they have a little flavor of Iowa coming to the Rush Center tonight. And then, of course, they just got back from Iowa over the weekend, a win in Waterloo and a loss in Des Moines. We'll go to that Waterloo win first. And first of all, I believe one of our first interviews, we talked about how the Young Arena, not one of your favorites because of all the cowbells, was a little bit quieter for you this time around.
It was a little bit quieter, and I think we quieted the ones that were even there a little bit more. We played a real nice game, kind of took control of it in the first period. Didn't score, you know, we ended up winning 2-1, but I felt we could have had 4 or 5 in that first period and really quieted the building, but we played a real nice road game.
And how frustrating is that when you go into the locker room after, you know, some of those periods and you know that there is some goals that maybe you left out onto the ice, and you find yourself kind of fighting tooth and nail to get the victory when you know that you probably should be up a couple more goals?
Well, you're happy to be getting the chances, and you just want to, you know, kind of take the positive from that, hey, we're going to continue to get chances in this game if we do things right. And that's how it played out. There was a lot of penalties both ways, a couple of fights in the game. So, you know, we were playing a Waterloo team that was playing a desperate brand of hockey, and they were blocking a lot of shots and making some key saves, but I was happy with how we were playing, but yeah, you'd like to have that 3-4 goal lead if when possible.
And Mason Lori, he gets another game-winning goal. Is he just a clutch player? Or is he one of the most clutch players you've had on your rosters in past years?
Well, he wants that puck at the right time, and I mean, like, and that's the thing. We were getting those chances, and you know, Mason has that confidence in the right time of the game. We get a power play there in the third, and you know, he just creates that shot for himself, but it was a credit to the guys that were with him there. I mean, they really got in front of the net, screened that goalie, and then Mace found that hole. So it was, but some people get a little nervous in those times. It just seems like Mason, you know, he kind of steps up and he wants it, and kind of he'll take the puck off his own teammate's stick at that time if he has to.
And you mentioned that there were a couple fights in that game. Who was there a fight there where, or has there ever been a game where you know, obviously a fight happens, things kind of happen in the flow of the game, where, you know, you see the gloves drop or you see a tussle turn into a fight and you kind of shake your head and you go, oh, man, you don't want to go down that road?
There's times. I mean, like, you know, I think it's a good experience for players to stick up for their teammates and realize, you know, this is the right time to protect one of my teammates. And you know, and that was the case with the second fight. And the first fight was one of our rookie players who had never been in one, and he had crashed at the net, and their players didn't like it, and he stood up for himself. So, you know, the only thing I talk to our players about is understanding where you're at in the game. If we've got all the momentum, you know, we don't want on the road to give the other team some momentum, you know, by being able to cause one of those fights or start one of those fights. So there's a little bit of education on, you know, game management and making sure that we're not going to give them any momentum through it.
Has there ever been a player that you coached, though, where, you know, all of a sudden you see one of their players chirping at him, at that guy that you know that if he got the opportunity, he's going to put somebody on the ice relatively quick? Have you ever kind of had that moment where you wince going, okay, well, let's see if he ever makes this mistake again, because I have full trust in my guy taking care of business here?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some tough kids here, and we've had some kids who have gotten into fights they shouldn't have been in. So I think it goes both ways. You know, Sheldon Dries was one of those players. He was our captain in his second year with us. And I had to ask him to stop, like, because I was like, Sheldon, I need you on the ice, and I can't be losing you all the time. And anytime somebody said something to him, he was going to want to fight that guy. So he was probably the most I had to talk to about, hey, Sheldon, tonight might not be the night. Let's just keep you on. I need you on the power play. We need you making all those plays.
And then the next night, you head a little bit farther west. You play the Des Moines Buccaneers. And taking a look at the stat sheet there, you go from getting close, if not more than 40 shots against Waterloo, to I think under 20, around 16 or 18 shots against Des Moines. What were the Buccaneers doing to your offense that really allowed you to not be able to take as many shots as you would have hoped?
They really frustrated us through the middle of the ice. And I didn't think we adapted well, and understanding that we were not going to get clean line rushes. They were going to have all their players back, and we were going to have to find a way to forecheck and create off the offense that way. And I think it was a little bit of conditioning. I think having that long break, going basically 2 weeks without playing and then coming back, I think that second night we didn't have the same legs we had the night before. I think we expended a lot of energy to win the game Friday night, and we just didn't find a way to get to our game. And I think we let Des Moines dictate the pace of the game. And, you know, credit to them. They were coming off a real tough loss the night before, losing 4-0 to Sioux City. And I think they came out as a little bit more of the determined team and frustrated us.
And you mentioned a little bit there, and usually in most years you'd have another person kind of use the rush center at the same time as you with the Green Bay men's basketball team Horizon League getting underway. And the women's coach, Kevin Bortseth, said he talked to people like you, the college hockey coaches and junior hockey coaches, that are used to going back-to-back because that's what they have to do this year with their conference matchups. So we'll pose the question to you. In your experience coaching college and junior hockey, how do you make sure that your players can get through a full weekend and still being able to play at that top level and going for wins every night?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes you're looking at when you play that same opponent, you know you're on the same exact playing field. And both teams have been in the same building and you're going that way. You know, we find, you know, you go to a different opponent, you know, switching gears on the style of play and everything like that, happens real fast. And, you know, Coach Bortseth, he's accustomed to his, you know, two different opponents on a weekend. And so he has to do all that prep work in advance to make sure that they're ready to change from that, how they might've played on Thursday to what they have to do on Saturday to have success. And so that's how we're always kind of going through it, is when we have those back-to-backs, you get to plan that whole week for one team, and which will, you know, that's what we'll have this weekend when we go to Youngstown. And so it's preparing for the two different teams. You need to make sure your team can switch gears. And I think that was a little bit of a lesson for us on Saturday, is we weren't able to switch gears from the high flowing speed game in Waterloo on Friday to a team that really wanted to slow us down on Saturday.
Do you find yourself maybe adjusting how you play your lines, especially with a stretch right here? You had the two games Friday, Saturday last weekend, game once again tonight, Tuesday, and then you head to Youngstown Friday and Saturday. With that many games in a week's period, do you see yourself maybe going all your lines deep, running them a little bit longer than they used to, instead of making sure that your top lines go in all the time?
Well, I mean, we will try to. We had three fresh bodies in on Saturday night, and we're healthy right now. So it's a good time of the year that we can decide which legs are ready to go from one night to the next. But, you know, looking back at that Friday game, it probably would have been nice to have that 3-4 goal lead that I talked about earlier, because we had to play the Mason Loris and the Jake Schmaltzes and the Jesse Tucker so much on that Friday night to get that win. And it might have taken a little bit of their energy out, you know, from what they had going into Saturday night.
And now, like we've talked about, you head to a Youngstown team. You kind of switch directions. You go almost as far as you can to the west. Now you're going to go almost as far as you can towards the east. What do we know about this Youngstown Phantoms team?
We saw them early in the year in our building. They're kind of a bigger, stronger team compared to a lot of the teams in our division. They're going to really try to overpower you with their puck possession and the way they make us defend. So, you know, right now, like we talked about earlier, we're focusing on Dubuque tonight, but then the page will turn to Youngstown. But it's good to play a familiar, you know, team that we had in our building already. And, you know, we beat them twice here, so I'm sure they're going to be up and ready to, you know, face us when we walk into their building.
How important was it for you in terms of preparation to face a different buddy opponent that you already faced the season coming off what will be a short week of preparation for you?
Yeah, film gets a little bit easier when we've already got, you know, things that we had success with when we played that team earlier in the year. Now, you know, we'll spend time watching their games from last weekend to see if they've made any changes, you know, different groups that they have playing in special team situations together. just so we're familiar with them, you know, from where they were at a month ago, a month and a half ago, to where they're at now.
Very good. And we like to have a little fun with you at the end of these interviews. Obviously, it's the Christmas gift season. And this kind of came about as we were soaring through some of the stuff, not just here at the studio, but our homes as well. What's maybe that one piece of hockey memorabilia that someone would be able to give it to you for a holiday gift that you would freak out and get really excited about?
You know what? I've always been a stick collector. You know, I've got a lot of the players that I loved, and I passed it off to my youngest son now. And then he's kind of taken it over, and he has a huge collection. So, you know, I was never able to get my hands on a Gretzky stick. So that would probably be one that we'd love to add to the pile.
Well, let's hear about this collection now. How many sticks do you have, and who are some of the players that are in it?
Well, we have a Mike Bossy stick, who was that great scorer for the Islanders back when their Stanley Cup run. A Steve Yzerman, who's my favorite player, you know, of all time. A Nick Lidstrom, who was another great Red Wing. But now he's really started to add to it through some of my connections. And he's got a Sidney Crosby. He's got a Jack Hughes. He's got a Jack Eichel. So a lot of the top young players, we've been able to, you know, get those sticks for him and add to that collection.
And do you just put them on the wall? Do you have a closet for them? How do you even display those?
They're all just in the corner in his room right now. You know, when his buddies come over, they all like to see the different curves that the kids have or the players have and how heavy a stick might be or how light it might be. So they get pulled out of the corner quite a bit when his friends are over.
Well, very good. Well, once again, as we record this, you're preparing for the Dubuque Fighting Saints. So good luck tonight. That game will be archived at 104.1 WRLU. And also, good luck this weekend as you face the Youngstown Phantoms. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
I'm Tim Coles, reporting for New Radio Sports Network.